What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to
the Pre-Dental Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Boom. Takes another try there.
If you're not watching the video right now, y'all really need to check that cool high five out.
Yeah, go to our YouTube page. We're on YouTube, right? Yeah,
that's where we're on the YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, fun fact of the day, these children's sunglasses that I'm currently wearing are polarized, and I can't read my iPad.
That's fine. Who needs it?
So we're going to ad-lib this entire podcast for the day.
This whole podcast.
I'm actually going to take these off. I really need to read my iPad.
Unlike you, Marco, I look at my notes ahead of time.
Ah, see, just like school.
Anyway, let's get this show on the road.
What show?
Okay, so we want to discuss our topic. So, you know, we always do a topic that's not related to dental school, just to keep y'all on y'all's toes. So this one is about tattoos.
Bum, bum, bum.
Marco, do you have tattoos?
I do. I have 4 tattoos right now. I'm probably going to get some more, too. I really like tattoos.
That's awesome. See, I'm too afraid to get a tattoo because I'm afraid if I get it on my body and I look at it every day, I'm really going to hate it. Then I'm going to want to, like, rip it off or something. I don't know how you get rid of tattoos. But
yeah, they have laser procedures that can do that, but it's not a lot of fun and it's very expensive. So what I recommend with everyone that wants to get a tattoo is get a design together and make it something meaningful. Don't just get something because you like the way it looks. Some people do that and they love it, sure. Like, but I think tattoos are a lot better when they have a sentimental value behind them. And then make it your phone background for a couple months. That way you have to look at it every day.
That's smart.
And if you don't like it, then don't get it. So you may be asking, can you go to dental school if you have tattoos? And Clayton, what's the answer to that one?
Absolutely. I know yours are where you can't really see them.
Because,
I mean, once you put your scrubs on, you can't really see them. So that's a really good option, too. So put it somewhere on your body that you're not going to be able to see them when you're wearing your scrubs. So
absolutely.
I think that's really smart.
Yeah, like use some common sense. Like, don't get face tattoos. Not only will that keep you out of dental school, potentially, but it may bar you from other jobs or the military or the jobs that you're working at may require you to cover up your tattoos. Like, I know some people that have wrist tattoos, and when they go to work, they have to wear a watch or a thick bracelet in order to cover it up. So personally, what I've done with my tattoos is they are all in areas where if I put a short sleeve scrub top on, I don't know if they have long sleeve scrub tops, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I pretty much like this shirt, you can't see any of my tattoos. That way you don't have to cover them up. Because also, once you get to clinics, some patients don't really like tattoos or may find them a bit scary or offensive for religious reasons or other reasons. So yeah, I would suggest getting them in areas that you can hide them.
Well, you have to remember too that we're dealing with majority elderly population here too. So
for sure,
elderly population sees piercings and tattoos differently. So I mean, that's great if you want a tattoo, but maybe not get like something crazy on your face or on your arm or something like that.
I was actually going to get Clayton's face on my cheek.
Well, no, that would actually help your business.
Probably. It would help me in the looks department
sure. Yeah,
you'd the ladies would be like, wow, who are those two handsome young men?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's a really
2-for-1 special.
I think that's a good idea. You get my face and I get your face and call it a day.
Boom. Love to see it. So
it's a big day.
It's a big day. It's what day is it?
This is the day.
This is the most important day that people have been waiting years for.
Years. So
what could this day be?
This day is the day that you find out if you get into dental school. That's awesome.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Even though it was actually a year ago for us.
I think I peed myself multiple times on that day.
For sure. Absolutely. I did. Absolutely. There was a lot of tears. There was, I guess in your case, pee.
Lots of it. Yeah, lots of it.
But yeah, seriously, it's a huge day for a lot of you. And we're going to just go through and talk about all the different scenarios that are possible on this big day. And just give you some general advice because we were in your shoes literally. Well, I guess it's a year and a day because we found out December 3rd and this year is December 2nd.
Yeah.
So
it's still awesome because I remember after, almost said acceptance. My wait list. So I was waitlisted. I was one on the wait list. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But after I got my acceptance from being off the wait list, I had so many questions.
For sure.
Like, how do I get financial aid? What is financial aid? Do I have scholarships? Where am I going to live? Just so many questions out there once you finally do get in because you've worked so hard to get there. You really haven't thought, like, after you get in. So we're going to kind of dive into all of that.
Yeah, so first things first is that you may be staying up all night updating AdSass, trying to figure out what's going on, but just know that a lot of schools don't update until the morning, because technically the schools can go ahead and upload your results to AdSass, and then AdSass isn't supposed to release those until the day of, which I guess would be past midnight.
Yeah.
But a lot of schools choose not to, just in case there's an error. They don't want anyone finding out early. So they go into the office Monday morning and do it then. So you'll find out either December 1st, or if December 1st falls on a weekend, then you find out the next Monday.
Right. So it's super exciting time. So some schools I have heard actually do, like, you get a call at midnight, or I think you got a call.
Yeah. So when I was accepted to Louisville, they're an hour ahead of us time zone wise. So I remember it was like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, I mean, it was late, and they called me and they're like, "Hey, you're going to be a doctor. Congratulations." So that was really neat. I know they do that, but some schools don't even do phone calls. I know LSU, they just send emails and that's that. But
yeah,
it's an exciting time.
It really is. So the first option, you have been accepted to dental school.
Woo!
Awesome. Congratulations. You've worked so hard for this. It's going to be an awesome journey, and you're going to love it. So you probably have questions right now. I've got into dental school. What next? Marco.
Well,
next.
You know, first things first, congratulate yourself, take a deep breath, go get dinner with your family or friends or something. Like, really just enjoy the moment. I don't know. For some people, it's different. So, like, a lot of the people that we went to LSU, or that we currently go to LSU with,
right,
they only applied to LSU because it was their in-state school and they had the highest chance of getting in there, versus us being from Arkansas and not having a dental school. We had to apply to a bunch of different places and we didn't really know what to expect. So, where was I going with that? Oh, so if you get into multiple schools, well, as long as you get into one, you're good. But then you have to consider, is it an in-state school or an out-of-state school, and how to make the decision on if you get into more than one.
Absolutely. So you probably have already developed a list of what if I get into this school or what if I get into this school. So if you get into an in-state school and then an out-of-state school, so you get into two schools, I mean, come on, look at the tuition. I mean, the in-state is usually 99% of the time going to be cheaper than the out-of-state school. So, I mean, if it's a good school, and it probably is a good school, go in-state route. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be
sure.
It's going to be so much cheaper in the long run, and you're going to save so much money.
Absolutely. Now, if you just absolutely love the out-of-state school and that's really where you want to go and that's where your heart's set, then sure, go for it, because you are doing an investment on your education.
Right.
But just know that it is going to be a lot more. So it's not just $100,000 more or $150,000 more. It is that $100,000 on 6% interest compounding from the minute that you take the loans out. So it's very expensive.
Right. So after you get accepted, you usually have a couple of weeks that you get to decide if you want to go to that school or not. So after you decide, you're going to put a security deposit down. That way they're sure that you're going to take that spot and they can plan on you being there, and they can let, you know, other students know that, you know, they're probably not going to get in. So you're going to put a security deposit down. And then at that point, I mean, obviously you've decided where you want to go. So then you can let the other schools know, because it's courteous, that you're not going to be attending. And so they can send out emails to the other lucky people that they've maybe gotten off the wait list. So it's good to be courteous and send the other schools an email as well.
Yeah, for sure. As soon as you make that decision, be sure to contact the other schools. Most schools have a 30-day limit on when you can let them know. So if you don't contact them and put a security deposit down within 30 days, then you lose your spot, essentially. Some schools do it a little bit sooner. So at LSU, we had 7 days to decide, but being Arkansas residents, it's a little bit of a different situation.
Right.
Some schools do 2 weeks just because they're trying to fill those spots faster and give more students a chance, because they want, I don't want to say higher yield students,
yeah,
but students that are higher on the wait list versus lower on the wait list, because they think that those students are going to fit better within the class.
Right. So I've been accepted, and now should I study a bunch before going to
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Be sure to finish your requirements that you need to do if you have any prerequisites that are left. But besides that, have a chill semester. I mean, my goodness, you got into dental school, you earned it. It's a good time. Relax. I know I took 3 hours my spring semester because I only needed one more class to graduate. And at that point, the school, I mean, LSU at least, didn't really care, because
right,
they understood that I had been working my butt off for the past 7 semesters.
Right.
So yeah, take some time off. Like, go on a vacation. Like, don't stress about it. You can get into dental school not ever having worked at a dental office. For sure. And you could be like me, who I just took the prerequisites. I didn't take advanced science classes besides what was required of me. And they're going to teach you everything that you need to know when you're in school.
Exactly. So it was a little bit different for me because I had finished my prereqs in December. So I had, you know, 6 months off before I started school, but I was already working as a nurse. So I just worked as much as I possibly could so I could save up as much as I possibly could. That way I would have some money in dental school. So if you have a good job, go ahead and work some. I mean, don't work yourself to death because you're going to have a busy schedule in dental school. But if you have that option, it's a great option to be in, especially if you're working in like a dental office or something in healthcare, because you're spending time around patients and you're learning more about the dental field and healthcare in general. So, I mean, it just kind of depends on where you're at. If you're in school, then, you know, don't stress about it. Do well in your classes, pass your classes, don't fail them or have a serious drop in your GPA, because they look at that. I mean, if you
You do have to submit, I don't mean to cut you off, but you do have to submit a final transcript. So even if you were like me and you're just taking one class, well, don't bomb that class, because they have the right to rescind your acceptance. It's very rare that that happens. But I mean, if you're a goofball and you just butcher that last semester and you make a bunch of bad decisions and don't pass your classes, then yeah, they can reserve the right to rescind your acceptance because you haven't matriculated yet.
I mean, if you go from having a 4.0 GPA to a 1.8 GPA, that doesn't look good on your part. You know, I mean, that just doesn't show maturity on your part, doesn't show you're ready to be in dental school. So they have that option. They have that right to rescind your offer. So be careful. Pass your classes, do well in them, but don't stress a whole bunch about it. It's going to be fine.
Absolutely. And I think you brought up a good point, too, of working. Like, if you have a solid job that you enjoy working at, like, I know my last semester of undergrad, I worked as a substitute teacher, and that was really fun because most of the time I was subbing for PE coaches, so I would just get paid to go outside and hang out with kids all day and like play dodgeball stuff like that. It was really fun. So if you have a job that you enjoy, for sure, like saving money before dental school is never a bad option, because your first semester of dental school is by far your most expensive because you're having to pay to move to whatever area you're going to. I know, like in my case, I had to get a gym membership, and there's other expenses with moving, plus you have to get your loops and your laptop and your textbooks and all this stuff. And it kind of sucks because it's the first semester of dental school that's most expensive, so you're going to be taking out the most interest on your loans because they're occurring for 4 years, versus your fourth year is the most affordable, but you're not accruing as much interest on that, which it would be nice if it was the other way around, but it's not. So little things that you can do to save money and have a little bit of a nest egg for yourself early on can really help you out in the long run.
Absolutely. And you brought up loans. So with loans, we're going to have another podcast about loans, and we'll talk all about financial aid. But the thing is, so once you accept your position to whatever dental school you decided on, you're going to get an email at some point from them with a packet of information, things you need to do. So for us, we had to collect like a quart jar of teeth. We had to fill out some forms for loans and things like that. But they're going to send you all of that. So you don't have to really worry about anything right now, because they're going to send you things that you needed to do. So you don't need to like Google checklist because I got into dental school. So I mean, they're going to send you a list of things that you need to do. So don't be stressing about that, because I know I was, because I had never dealt with loans before. So I was really worried about the process, but it's going to be fine. They're going to send you a list, and it's going to be okay. Because like I said, we'll make another podcast about loans and financial aid and that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, when you get into school, you're so excited to start and you want to do everything you can, and you don't want to mess up anything with dental school. But then it's like, just hang tight. Like, they're going to send you all the information that you need to know, and you're going to have more than enough time to do it. The only thing I would recommend is going ahead and filling out your FAFSA for the next year, because you have to fill that out by, I believe, April 15th in order for it to process on time for you to receive your loans on time. So definitely do that. Again, we'll talk about that later. But the biggest advice we can give you is, if you get in and it's an awesome school and you know you're going to go there, just hang tight and let the school contact you. The admissions office is going to be really busy those first couple of weeks, trying to fill all the spots and then dealing with people who turn down their spots and then getting people off the wait list. And before we move on, there is one thing we need to talk about, is if you get into an out-of-state school, but you applied to your in-state school and you were not accepted, what should you do, Clayton?
So, you're accepted into dental school. I know I talked about the tuition being a lot higher for out of state, but you're not going to be a dentist if you don't go to dental school.
Right.
So, if you decline the offer to the out of state in hopes that the next year you're going to get in that in state, but you don't get into that in state, you're then still not a dentist.
You wasted 2 years at that point.
So, I 100% think you should take the spot. If you get in, take the spot. It's going to be okay that you're going to accrue some more debt. It's going to be fine. Just take the spot. You're going to be a dentist, and then you'll take care of the debt later.
For sure. Because think about it like this. You also have the opportunity cost. So every year that you're not in dental school, and we've spoken about this before.
Right.
But every year that you're not in dental school is a year later that you're going to start your career and start making that dental salary. And plus, the cost of education is rising. So it's going to be more expensive, and you're making less money in the long run. Also, I will say, if you get into the out-of-state school, and then let's say you get wait, we'll talk about waitlisted in a minute, but if you get waitlisted at your in-state school, yeah, you might want to wait a couple days and see, especially if that's where you want to go. But if worse comes to worse, put the security deposit down at the out-of-state school that you get into, and then even if it's March or April, I mean, shoot, I know some people, it's like the week before orientation, and it's life happens. Like, crazy. People get in car accidents, or just for whatever personal reasons, they decide that dental school is not what they want to do. But because I know there's a D2 at LSU, he got in after the first day of orientation week. They started on Monday, and Monday night, LSU called him because someone didn't show up and decided that they just weren't going to do it. And they said, listen, if you can get here by tomorrow or as soon as possible, we'll give you the spot. And congratulations, you're going to be a doctor.
And he was in China at the time.
He was in China.
That's crazy. So, I mean, it can even happen after school started because the person doesn't even show up. So, like Marco said, the worst case scenario, I mean, it's not even worst case. So, you put the security deposit down at the out-of-state. Say it's $500. You put the $500 security deposit down, and then your in-state school sends you your acceptance. Well, you just lose the $500, but you're going to make that up when you're not paying out-of-state tuition. So it's all going to work out. But the big thing is, don't worry about it if you're in. Because you're in dental school, it's going to be awesome, and you're going to be a dentist, and congratulations. It's a big, big accomplishment.
Absolutely. And once you put that security deposit down, you're not contractually bound to attend that school. Like, yes, they're planning on you being there, and it is a courtesy to let them know as soon as possible because you don't want to leave any bad remarks anywhere with anyone, especially if you're going to try and specialize. Because, I mean, I know there was one school that I got an interview at, but it wasn't until after December 3rd. And on December 3rd, I found out that I got into some schools and had options. So I notified that other school that I was going to have the interview at, and I said, listen, like, it just doesn't make sense for me to fly up there. It's a great school, don't get me wrong. And they said, thank you for letting us know. We really appreciate it. And please consider us if you plan on specializing. We'd love to have you for an interview for one of our specialty programs. So just being nice and considerate to people, because every day that you wait to notify schools is another day that someone else is waiting to potentially get into their dream school.
And let's talk about that. So you've got the email and it's not exactly what you wanted. You're on the wait list. So that's where I was. So I got, well, it's kind of different. So I got the call from Tennessee, and I was accepted to Tennessee, but I didn't get the Arkansas spot. So I was in an out-of-state spot, and I was going to have to pay out-of-state tuition. And then I get the email from LSU, and I was on the wait list as well. So I was in a tricky situation. I was kind of upset. I mean, I was still accepted into dental school, but it's not what I had worked for and what I had hoped for, and that could be the spot you're in right now. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. It's easy to say that, I know, because I'm here now. But right. It's all going to work out. It really is. Even if you don't get accepted, it's still going to be okay. You can apply again next year. But luckily for me, in a week, I got the email from LSU that I was accepted. So that's why we talked about it. It's important for those of you who were accepted to, as soon as you find out, as soon as you know where you want to go ahead and let those other schools know, so students like me who are on the wait list can get off the wait list. So that's my advice.
For sure.
Definitely for the wait.
Yeah, because that happened at Arkansas the year ahead of me. So there was these two guys that got into several schools, and they're having a tough time making a decision, but they didn't decide until later on in December. So they were holding up two spots at several different schools, and a lot of people were stuck on the wait list just not knowing what to do. And once they got into a school, they accepted it, even though it might not have been their first choice. But then after they put the security deposit down and came to the realization, they didn't go back and take the spot, like at LSU, for example. Right. Like one of my friends ended up going to Texas A&M instead,
right,
because she was on the wait list at LSU, and then she finally got off the wait list. But by that point in time, she had already put her deposit down and just didn't feel like transferring it out. So you can literally affect other people's lives. So it's just, again, it's just about being courteous. Like, let the schools know as soon, don't rush your decision, but let them know as soon as possible once you've made it. There's no reason why you shouldn't contact them.
Exactly. So, and like for me, it was a week that I found out that I was off the wait list. But like we said, like with the guy in China, it could be a week after school has already started. So don't give up hope until it's been like 2 or 3 weeks after school has even started.
For sure.
So I mean, that's a possibility that you may, you know, you may have lost complete hope that you're not going to get into dental school this year, but you actually could. So I mean, it definitely could happen. So just try to keep busy, because if you aren't busy, you're just going to drive yourself crazy thinking about, what could I have done differently? Did I mess up in my interview? Is my GPA not good enough? Is my DAT not good enough? So don't stress about it yet. So I mean, if it's 2 or 3 weeks into school, then you can, you know, reach out to the admissions department at the specific schools that you applied to and kind of ask them, you know, what could I have done differently? Was it my DAT? Was it my GPA? And what kind of recommendations do y'all have for me?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wouldn't contact them tomorrow.
No,
you know, if you get waitlisted or rejected, because they're going to be extremely busy and they're already answering enough phone calls with people that have questions and whatnot. But yeah, just know that a waitlist is not a rejection, and you're not over until they specifically tell you that it's over. You know, unfortunately, I do know some people. I know one guy that got waitlisted at two different schools, and he never got off the waitlist, unfortunately, so he just had to end up reapplying. But for most people, they find their spots. Like, a waitlist is a good place to be, and worst comes to worst, it lets you know that you're a competitive applicant for the next year. So just hang tight. And I know we've talked about student.network as well. It's a great resource, but don't go on there and chance me and all this stuff. That's just going to psych yourself out.
It's going to drive you crazy.
Like what Clayton said, just stay as busy as possible. If you're on the wait list, just keep your mind off of it.
And like Marco said, don't reach out to the schools tomorrow if you're on the wait list, because it's not going to affect your position on the wait list. The worst, I mean, it could negatively affect your position on the wait list if you bug them to death. If you just constantly email them, constantly call them, it's going to drive them crazy, and it's not going to want them to take you off the wait list. So just hold tight and wait it out.
Unfortunately, absolutely.
Waiting's the worst, but sometimes that's all you can do.
For sure. For sure. So at this point, we are going to take a quick break to give a special shout out to our sponsors.
Marco, this is awkward.
Wait, did we not get the special shout out for them? I thought I put it in the notes.
It's well.
Oh man, this is awkward.
We don't have any sponsors.
We don't.
It's fine. If you would like to be a sponsor, contact us. thepredentalpodcast@gmail.com.
Just like our name, right? Like, that's our name, The Predental Podcast?
Yeah, it fits.
Yeah, so thepredentalpodcast@gmail.com. If you would like some special shout-outs, or you would like to partner with us or anything. Sponsor us, like literally anything, we would be more than appreciative, because this podcast is free, because we understand that getting into dental school is tough and it's expensive, and we just wanted to provide a great free resource to all the students out there. That way, you can hopefully get relieved of some of your questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're sitting at our kitchen table right now, so if somebody wants to donate a nicer table, we'll accept that.
It's pretty squeaky.
Yeah, if you watch the videos, you'll notice how we try not to lean on the table, because it's not even that good of a kitchen table. So anyway, let's get back to the podcast.
So, tables are us, if you're listening
tables
to this.
Tables are us. I think they follow us on the Insta.
Hopefully, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have an Instagram.
We
go
do.
Follow that. We post a lot of cool stuff.
We do. It's awesome. The Predental Podcast.
And now you changed your Instagram name, so we're matching, right?
I did. At first I changed it to Dental Student Clayton, and that wasn't cool enough, so I changed it to Dental Student _C Dog. Dental Student C Dog.
You put the underscore in there?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Breaking up a little
bit. I put the overscore in mine.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. But mine is dental student Mark Coco. You know, as in Cocoa Puffs.
He had to give himself a shout out. Here we go. Here we go.
So anyway, speaking of shout outs, we're going to get our question of the day. And what's interesting about this question is that Clayton and I really haven't thought of an answer yet. So we're just going to kind of go off the cusp and see what happens here. It comes from one of my really good friends. Her name is Keely. Keely, this is a shout out to you. I know you're going to get a phone call. I know you're going to get emails. You're going to get in. Don't stress.
It's going to be fine.
You're seriously going to be great. But your question, and I want to thank you for it, is if you could do everything over again in regards to college and applying and the whole process, what's one thing you would do differently?
Oh, man.
Again, we haven't read this question a whole bunch, so we're just going off the cusp here.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. I have such a different way of getting to dental school than a lot of people. So I went to nursing school and then I applied to nurse practitioner school, got into nurse practitioner school, decided not to do nurse practitioner school. Then I thought I wanted to be a nurse anesthetist. Didn't really want to do that. Then I thought I wanted to go to med school, started taking prereqs for med school. So I think I would have decided sooner that I wanted to be a dentist. I would have got out of high school and out of shadowed, because that's what I've told my sister. Because my sister's in nursing school, she's kind of in the same position I am in that she doesn't really know what she wants to do. If you don't know what you want to do, get out and shadow people. Shadow dentists, shadow doctors, because that's what made me switch from wanting to be a doctor to wanting being a dentist. I shadowed a doctor and I shadowed a dentist and I shadowed a nurse anesthetist and I was a nurse. So get out there, be around the professions that you think you want to be around, because reading in textbooks, reading on Google sounds cool, but see if you actually want to do that for a living.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't have to be in the medical field either. No. One of my good buddies in undergrad, I mean, he has I think he graduated cum laude or magna cum laude from the University of Arkansas with biology and loved it. But I think he's actually going to go to grad school for business because he realized that dental school just wasn't what he wanted to do. And with it being so expensive and being such a long program, if it's not what you're certain for, then yeah, take some time and think about it and explore the other professions. I know personally for me, if I could go back and do everything over again, I would have completely restructured the way that I studied for the DAT. Because I had pretty much planned the sophomore summer. So like the summer going from my sophomore to junior year of college to take it. And I was just going to take Organic Chem 2 that summer. And I was going to be like, wow, it's super fresh in my mind. I got this. I'm going to study all summer. And I ended up working for most of the summer. And then by the time I would get home, you know, I was subleasing at an apartment complex at the time. And a lot of my fraternity brothers lived there. And we would just go to the pool every day after work. Like, it was a ton of fun. Oh my gosh, that summer was so fun. But I ended up having to push my DAT back. And then when I did that, it was in the fall semester. So it costed me more money to push it back. And I had to repurchase DAT boot camp. And then I still didn't study until like two. I mean, I studied a little bit over the summer. It wasn't like I didn't do anything. But it just would have been a lot better had I studied early on and stuck with a schedule. So we'll make another podcast about the DAT in itself, but I definitely would have kept myself to a schedule because, I mean, I didn't really, really start studying until 2 or 3 weeks before the DAT, and I was studying 12, 14 hours a day. It was miserable. I mean, if I wasn't in class and I wasn't, like, taking a shower, like, I don't think I even worked out those couple weeks. You know, my workout was walking to class or pacing the hallways looking at notes. So yeah, just being more regimented with my schedule, but that just goes with all things in life. Like, you're just have a good schedule and stick to it.
Absolutely. That was a really good question.
Yeah, for
sure. I'm really glad I thought of something to answer it too.
Actually, you know what? If I could do everything over again, I think rooming with Clayton, I definitely wouldn't have roomed with this guy.
I would have made you do a background check to make sure everything was clear, and then we would have gone from there.
Oh my gosh.
Let's go to the third option. Jeez. Okay. What's the third option? So you're accepted, you're waitlisted.
Option number three, contestant behind the third door is dun dun dun.
Rejected.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's not the end of the world. You may feel like it is, but it's really not. Because you know why? You can always reapply again next year.
Yeah, for sure. Rejection, it sucks at the time. But it's not that bad. Like, it's really not. You can contact the school. Again, don't do it tomorrow.
No.
Be like, why didn't I get in? But at some point, contact the dean of admissions or the head of admissions, whoever it is for the school, and ask them why you didn't get in. I mean, it's a pretty point blank question, but be nice about it. Can't stress that one enough. Be super nice and courteous when you're talking to them, and don't contact them the day that you find out, unless you don't find out for a couple months that you get rejected.
And the other big thing, Mama's not going to be happy. Mama is not going to be happy when she finds out that you were rejected from dental school. I get it. My mama wasn't happy that I was on the wait list, mm-hmm. but don't let mama call the dean of admissions.
It's the easiest, one of the easiest ways to shut down your application for future years. They want to know that you are a professional and you're an adult and you can handle your own battles and you can overcome adversity, and you don't need your mama doing that. I know my mom is super protective of me, as is Clayton's, so they think the world revolves around us, basically. So when someone doesn't agree with that, like, I mean, I got rejected from a couple schools, and my mom was baffled by that. But hey, it happens. Not everyone's going to get in everywhere. But do not let your parents contact the school. Like, just don't. It just, it's because it shows that you're not responsible enough to handle your own battles. And especially, oh my God, especially, don't threaten the school. Like, I don't know, that's common sense, but people do it every year. Like, I know Dr. Sheremy talks about how many times that people have threatened to slash his tires or to come find him because the admissions committee at LSU didn't accept them. And it's like, dude, like, a threat is not going to get you into school, but it sure as hell is going to keep you out. Like, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and the thing is too, like, the deans talk to each other, you know, I mean, yeah. The dean of LSU, I'm sure they do have a group me. Dr. Sheremy probably talks to the dean at New York.
Yeah, I don't, Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean,
Iowa.
Like, they're going to talk to each other. So if you threaten to slash one of their tires, they're all going to find out about it. So don't do that. That's not good.
That's not a good idea. For sure. Again, very common sense. But again, you'd be surprised at how often it really happens. And I get it. You've worked so hard and you've been waiting all semester. And especially if you got an interview and you're like, oh, come on. Like, this was going to be my year.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes it just doesn't happen, because part of the admissions process isn't just how you are as a student, but how you would fit in with the rest of the class. So sometimes it really just isn't your year, and it doesn't make sense until you're in the program and you see it firsthand.
Right. So like Marco said, wait a little bit until you contact the dean of admissions. So when you do contact the dean of admissions, it's okay to ask, what can I improve on? So do I need to improve on the DAT? Do I need to improve my GPA? Do I need to improve my shadowing hours? What is it? And one of the things they can't really disclose to you is your letters of recommendation and your committee letter. So if it was your committee letter, if it was your letters of recommendation, they're not going to tell you that. So if your GPA is good, your DAT is good, your shadowing hours are good, it was probably letters of rec. It could have been the interview too. Mm-hmm. Could have been one of those things.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes the interview just doesn't go as expected. Right. Maybe your nerves got to you or something. But yeah, I feel like if it's your interview, they'd probably let you know. But yeah, the one thing they can't talk about because of confidentiality reasons is your professor letters. So if they get kind of weird and shady and don't really give you a reason, just know that they're not doing it to be weird and shady, but because they have to respect the confidentiality of the professors. But yeah, just because you don't get in doesn't mean you have to retake the DAT.
No.
It doesn't mean that you have to get a master's degree. But if those are things that you need to improve on, like if you had a low undergrad GPA, then yeah, the school might recommend that you get a master's degree.
Absolutely.
Or go back and take some classes. But the schools are usually pretty upfront, and they're willing to work with you. There's no school whose mission is to keep you out of dental school. They all want you in.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's just not your year, and sometimes you just need to be a little bit more competitive in order to get into the program.
Exactly. So if it is your GPA, they're usually going to tell you, yeah, you may need to do a master's program to improve your GPA. Yeah, you may need to retake your DAT because your DAT score is low. So they're generally going to tell you those things, and it's easy to fix those things. So, I mean, if it's that, then fix it. If it's your letters of rec and they don't tell you, don't go out and slash your professor's tires who did your letter of rec. You know, like, don't do that either. That's not a good idea.
Well, because the professors have to be honest with the school as well.
They do.
You don't want, because it's all about your reputation. So if you're not a good student and then that professor recommends you, and then you turn out, again, not to be a good student, then that looks bad on the professor. And the next year, the year after, when they try and recommend a different student, the school's going to be like, oh, well, I can't really trust this professor. So it goes back to their word. And also, it just goes back to the integrity of the program, that people, right, people shouldn't be lying to get you in. Also, don't choose a bad professor to write you a rec letter. Like, if you didn't get along with him, or if you didn't show up to class, or they don't know you, or like you barely passed, like, you want a we're getting a little bit off topic here, but like, you want a professor that knows who you are and can talk about who you are personally and not just who you are in the classroom or what paper says about you. But anyways, if you don't get in, this is the next thing we're going to discuss, is be doing something.
Don't just sit on your couch and watch Netflix or Disney Plus, because I mean, that sounds enticing. But if you apply again next year and you go through those round of interviews, they're going to ask you, what did you do in your year off?
Exactly. There's a specific portion of ADSAS that says, if you are reapplying, what have you done differently this year? Because if you didn't get in with your application and you're like, oh, it was just a competitive year, I'm going to reapply. Well, it gets a little bit more competitive every year. I mean, on average, national DAT scores are going up. More people are getting master's degrees and advanced degrees and then going to school. I know a lot of people do a lot of shadowing. I mean, shoot, I worked for an oral surgeon for and a half. I think I had like in total like 1,500 shadowing and work hours. Not to toot my own horn there or anything, but people are getting more jobs while in undergrad and things like that. So it makes the whole process more competitive. So don't think, oh, well, next year I'm going to be with all the lazy people, because it's probably not going to happen.
It's not.
It makes you look lazy if you haven't done anything for a year, because it also just shows that you don't really want it that bad.
Exactly. Because in your position right now, you got rejected. You have a leg up on the people who are just going to apply the first time the next go around, because you know how the interview process goes. You know how the application process goes. So you have a leg up on those people. So you need to keep that leg up by working, by being around, you know, the dental profession. You need to be doing something. Because if the only thing you can put on your application is, I watched every episode of The Office, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's kind of cool. But you need to do something more than that. You know, you need to show that you're trying to improve yourself and you're trying to be better this year than you were last year. So
for sure. I mean, watching every episode of The Office is a life improvement, and I will stand by that. But that isn't really something that you can talk about in an interview or put on your application.
Absolutely.
So yeah, be doing something. Just know that, yeah, it does seem like the end of the world. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like,
right,
if you don't get in anywhere, that does kind of suck.
Yeah.
Like, again, not sugarcoating it, but it's not the end of the world, because you can reapply. And honestly, a year of working or getting that master's degree, like, I know people, like, I've studied my butt off for anatomy this semester. Like, it really was difficult.
It really is.
And I have some classmates that have literally slept through some of the lectures and don't study at all. Well, people that didn't. You're smart, but
Just kidding.
People that did master's degrees and took high-level anatomy courses during those master's programs,
they're doing
awesome.
You
know, yeah, they're kicking everyone's butts because they have that experience and they've seen the material before.
Allie.
So, yeah, Allie.
Krishna.
Krishna.
We know.
Aaron.
Aaron.
That boy, Aaron.
Nadia.
Yeah, Nadia's just brilliant.
She is. They're, she really
so, honestly, so many of our classmates are brilliant. It constantly baffles me.
It's intimidating. Because
they talked about running for Congress and getting in. I think it was John McCain who was in the Senate. He said, you spend the first 6 months wondering how you got there.
You're right.
And then you spend the rest of your life wondering how everyone else got there. And I think it's kind of the opposite in dental school. Because, I mean, those first couple of weeks, we were goofy. We partied a lot. Like, and I was like, wow, like, how did everyone else get here? You know, like, you might have a little bit of an ego trip or something.
Yeah.
And then you see people perform in the classroom and perform in the clinics.
It's crazy.
And you spend the rest of your dental school career being like, wow, like, how did I get here? Like, how am I
don't deserve
like,
this.
How am I so lucky to be around so many good people?
It's crazy.
So, I think part of that relates back to how Dr. Sheremy does admissions and how he really makes sure that we're all meant for each other. Because, you know, I love the D2 class at LSU. I think they're great people. But, I mean, I would have made it work. But I don't feel as though I would have been as close to them as I am our class. Like, I just feel like I have more things in common with people in our class. And I feel like I relate to them a lot better. But
well, and that's what the deans of admission are looking at. They've been doing this for a while, so they know what personalities go together and what kind of people will mesh well together. And that's what they're looking at too. So that, I mean, that could be another thing of why you didn't get in. Maybe you just wouldn't have meshed too well with that class, and that's fine. You may mesh well with the next class. So don't worry about that. But here's the thing. If you didn't get in, don't freak out. If you want to email us and just, you know, ask us for some advice, ask us where maybe you could improve, email us, thepredentalpodcast@gmail.com. So don't be afraid to email us, you know, if you want to. Don't email the deans of admission yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Email us.
Even if you just need someone to vent to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, we may not know you, but yeah, it's fine. Like, I got rejected from some schools. I think Clayton got rejected from some schools. Like, just shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, whatever you need to do. If you want to talk about how stupid the program is and how you can't believe you got rejected,
yeah
sure, just let it all out. Just don't do that with the deans or like anyone that's affiliated with the school.
I mean, we're
even if it's LSU, you can still reach out to us. Like, we're not, we're close with Dr. Sheremy, but like, we're not like, oh my God, hey, like, do you see what this person sent me?
Yeah, we're not going to tattle. No, unless you like threaten us.
Yeah, don't send us threats.
Yeah, just, please don't.
But seriously, if you would like to wonder how you can improve your application and you want us to take a look at it, we can make that happen for sure.
So Marco, the fourth option that we're going to talk about, so we've talked about being accepted, we've talked about being put on the wait list, and now we've talked about being rejected. Fourth option, I really haven't heard that much about, but you kind of informed me about it. I didn't even honestly.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird spot to be in, and it's pretty much just where you don't hear anything. Your AdSAS hasn't been updated. The school never sent you an email. Also, make sure that you've added all the school's emails, because sometimes it goes to junk. My spam. My LSU acceptance actually went to my spam folder.
That's crazy.
No, it wasn't my acceptance. It was my interview offer. And Dr. Sheremy had sent me a personal email and was like, hey, are you coming or not? Right. And I was like, what do you mean?
I got an interview?
And then I had to plan that trip quickly. But anyways, if you don't hear anything from a school, it is a really weird spot to be in. But sometimes, like, I don't know, maybe you're just like the next person on the wait list. And instead of telling you that you're waitlisted and giving your hopes up or something, then they might just hold off for a week. Or if you're kind of rejected, but you're not totally out of the game, but you're not necessarily on the wait list, they may do it. I don't really know why schools don't tell you.
That's weird.
But it happened. I mean, it happened to me at two schools.
Did you call them?
I gave it a month, and then I called them, and they said that my application was still pending. So I don't really know what that meant, but I didn't get...
I think I know what it meant.
Yeah, I ended up getting rejected from the schools, but I actually got rejected from one school four times. It was Texas A&M.
Ouch.
I guess they had a glitch.
He's not bitter.
Yeah, not bitter at all. Whatever. Gag them, right?
Oh,
yeah,
geez. Gag them. Didn't LSU just play Texas A&M?
Oh, but we didn't... No, I wouldn't say that we played them, because, I mean, we just whooped them. Like, it was so bad.
It really, that if you're from Texas A&M, reach out to us, yell at us if you want to. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. But anyways, yeah, some schools may not contact you. And for example, here's where the security deposits get tricky. But one of my really good buddies in undergrad, he got accepted to Tennessee and he really wanted to go to Kansas City. Part of it was their program and part of it was that he had a lot of family that lived around the UMKC area and he wanted to be closer with them. And I'm pretty sure he got to live with his uncle or something, which free housing is the best housing for sure. Some of our classmates, like I know in undergrad, it was like, oh man, like you still live with your parents?
Yeah.
What? And now like I look at my dental classmates that live with their parents and I'm like, oh my God, I'm
They're
so
like
jealous.
High-fiving those people.
Yeah, man. Literally like, dude, like I wish my mom would move down
Seriously.
Here because like, some of them get help with their laundry and like a lot of
Food.
Them don't cook and they get free rent. Like, oh man, they save so much money and it seems so much more chill. But unless you're like me and then you get stuck living with this guy over here.
Look at this. I'm stuck with this guy.
This guy over here. But anyway, so he didn't hear anything from UMKC and he didn't contact them at first. And Tennessee had given him 2 weeks to make a decision on whether or not he was going to get in. So December 14th rolls around. And he's like, had just really been waiting to hear back from KC. And he puts down his $1,000 security deposit. 2 days later, on December 16th, he gets notified that he got accepted to Kansas City, which has a $500 security deposit. Well, he ended up choosing Kansas City, but he lost out on $1,000 right there. So it's tough because it's non-refundable. But once that security deposit gets put down, it gets funded towards your education. So it's not just like you're paying for a spot, like that $1,000, or at LSU it's only $200,
right,
whatever it may be, gets credited towards your account. But yeah, sometimes it's just a waiting game, and I don't know why schools don't reach out to people, but they don't.
Yeah, that's just, I'd never heard of that. I mean, I guess I knew it was a possibility that you just don't hear anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's good that that actually happened to you, so we can give advice to you.
Yeah, for sure. And some schools also conduct interviews after December 1st or whatever the day of admissions is. Like, I know I talked about having an interview. It was at Penn, up north, and it was going to cost me a couple $100s because I was going to buy a plane ticket up there, and then I was going to have to Uber to the hotel and like get a hotel room and all that stuff. But whenever I found out that I was accepted to LSU, I was like, like, it doesn't really make sense for me to do this interview because Penn wasn't my dream school.
Right.
It was an incredible program, and I'm super glad that I applied there. You know, I have a lot of good friends that attend there right now.
Sure.
Like, I know the current ASDA president, he's from Penn, Craig McKenzie.
That's
he's
awesome.
An awesome guy. But yeah, so it's, you just don't know sometimes. It's such an arbitrary thing, but it's kind of like being on the, like, just pretend like you're on the wait list at that point, because you're not rejected until they specifically tell you in writing that you are rejected.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, you haven't heard from the school in a month. Like, yeah, like, your odds are kind of going down every day that you don't hear from them. Like, not to be sad or depressing, but just being truthful.
Right.
But yeah, unless they put it specifically in an email or they call you, which I don't think they call to reject you. That's just a weird phone call.
Yeah, that is awkward.
But you're not done and you're not over until it's specifically stated so.
Don't freak out. If you're rejected, don't freak out. Do better. Retake the DAT if you need to. Work on your GPA if you need to. Or just go to work if you need to. So don't worry about it. Apply again next year. It's going to be okay.
For sure. For sure. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else for them, Clayton?
Besides the advice? Email us if you need to vent. If you're super worried.
If you have questions, anything like that.
We're here for you. So, we have an advice from a dental student. And this is Josie from UMKC.
For sure.
Josie say?
So, Josie is advising all our listeners to get involved early on in undergrad and get involved in something that you're passionate about. So, I know in high school, a lot of people would do like quantity over quality. So, they might play half the sports that the school has to offer, and they might be involved in all the student organizations and things like that. But in undergrad, it's a lot different. So you want to have quality over quantity. And that's what Josie recommends, like finding a few organizations. Like, okay, at first, when you start out, yeah, like get involved in a bunch of clubs and whatnot and figure out, exactly, see what you like. But once you find those few things that you're truly passionate about, then get involved with those heavily, because that passion is going to carry on when you interview. And it's also going to help you be more involved and be a better member and be a better leader in those organizations.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I did. I joined a bunch of organizations freshman year, kind of figure out where I fitted, what organizations I really liked. And then my senior year, you know, I was only involved in a few, but I was really involved in those organizations. You know, I was either president, vice president of those organizations. So that looks a lot better than being involved in 30 organizations, but not holding a leadership role in any of them. So
for sure.
Great advice. Definitely get involved.
Yeah, I know, fun fact, I was actually in ROTC my first semester of college with the Army.
Oh.
And I wasn't involved in the day-to-day operations of it, but I was taking like a basic military science class. And it was funny because everyone else in there was a cadet, and I was the only one that was taking the class but wasn't involved in ROTC. And I was pretty much a hippie in undergrad. Like, I wore Birkenstocks and Crocs all the time.
Really wish we had the picture.
I know. For the people watching it on YouTube, I'll be sure to post a picture of freshman year Marco.
You'll see it.
It was, I mean, I had hair like down to here. Like, it was nuts. I think I went a year.
The silver cap.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. Silver cap.
Yeah, I had these two big silver caps on, I believe, number 2 and number 31. But Those are teeth, by the way.
Oh. I didn't know.
Gosh.
I was on the wait list.
But, oh, wow. You want me to get you some French fries? You're a bit salty there, my guy?
Quite salty. I'm in now. It's fine.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Once you get in, and we're just speaking off the cusp here, as we usually do.
Always.
But, you know, like, I wasn't on the wait list, and Clayton was.
Rub it in.
I'm just saying, that makes no difference,
and
though.
None.
We wear the same color scrubs, we're in the same class, we pay the same amount to go to school. It doesn't matter. Like, if you're, even if like you have the lowest GPA in your class, what are they going to call you still at graduation?
Still a dentist.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing. When you graduate and you get your diploma from dental school, it's not going to say DDS was rejected 5 times, but finally got in. It's just going to say DDS. It's not going to say DDS was on the wait list and then got in. Just going to say DDS. So like I said, like both of us said, don't stress about it. Keep trying. Keep working at it. For those of you who are accepted, congratulations. So awesome. So proud of y'all. So happy for y'all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A huge congratulations. This is a true honor. Absolutely. And you've really deserved it. To close out, I would just like to tell a really quick story that Dr. Sheremy would always tell during his rounds. He would come to the University of Arkansas every year and give a speech and tell us about the school. And he always tells us about this one guy who was an awesome student because he was an awesome person, but didn't necessarily have incredible grades and just didn't have good DAT scores. And he ended up applying 4 separate times and just couldn't get in. And it got to the point where he ran out of money and he was literally working on an offshore oil rig. And I guess they had Wi-Fi or something out there. Yeah. He had to make phone calls and help people do his application. But he finally retook the DAT and got the score that LSU wanted him to get. And he studied and got his grades up a little bit. But I mean, this dude was literally in the ocean working on an oil rig and finally got in. And he was a pretty big guy too. And Dr. Sheremy always shows a picture of him with one of his first pediatric patients. And this guy was known as the stud of his class. Patients loved him. His classmates loved him. And yeah, it took him 4 or 5 tries to get into school, but it was totally worth it. And I'm almost positive he's in an oral surgery residency now.
That's awesome.
So he went from being rejected to just general dentistry several times to now doing one of the most competitive specialties out there. So never give up on your dream, especially if dentistry is your dream, because it's well worth it. I can tell you it's hard, it's challenging, sometimes it makes you second guess yourself, but in the end, I wouldn't trade our dental school experience for anything.
If it's easy, you're not going to appreciate it as much. You've worked so hard to get here, and you're going to appreciate it so much more because you've worked this hard. Congratulations to all of you who have applied, whether you've been accepted, whether you're on the wait list, or even if you got rejected. Y'all are awesome, and it's going to be okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, easier said than done, but just take a deep breath and know that everything is going to be all right. So congratulations to everyone, even all of those who just applied, no matter what the outcome is.
Absolutely.
Because it's a true honor to even get to that point. So anyways, my name is Marco.
And my name is Clayton.
And thank you for listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast.